Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
World War One, where we were actually using acoustic array. And those ones are just fantastic. If you check it online, they were actually like horn with many different kind of horn. And then be able to, you know, steer physically left and right to be able to identify where planes were coming from. And the idea was the same, because instead of doing it in the radio domain, you do it in the acoustic domain.
So it's good for people to kind of get in the head angle of arrival, because that is basically where the standards are going. And you guys are at the cutting edge in terms of commercializing that. But, you know, let's look in our crystal ball. My guess is that eventually this will be in the standards. How does that place Cooper when that's standardized?
Why don't I track the shopping cart and shopping basket where they are present in the store? Because in that way, I actually can know 100% of what is happening in my store.
Yes.
You're listening to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Ecosystem with Steve Stadler.
Good points well made, and you've definitely kind of, I think, established the value. I would actually like one of those receivers just to have it in my office because it looks cool, not because I need to track anything. But how much do they cost?
So the Cooper Tag is a device, as I said, that is a reference device. So Cooper practically built this as an example.
Yeah.
The Cooper Tag starts at 25 euros each, and then the price goes down with volume to like 20, 15, and so.
Okay.
But I really wouldn't use this one, to be honest, as a reference of the cost, because we have already, and if you go to our webpage, we have three companies listed there now under the Cooper ecosystem, and in total we have 9 companies building already their own tags.
Yeah.
Some example is Fujitsu. Fujitsu is one of our partner into the IoT and ecosystem work, and they have.
Okay, so the tags sounds like you're kind of on the same ballpark as the rest of the market. There's nothing like special that makes them super duper expensive. But those receivers, and we haven't actually talked about how they work. I do want to do that, but just how much do the, what's the kind of the ballpark range for those, just so that people, I think people are assuming that this is like a Maserati time kind of price tag. So I'm bracing myself.
So the device itself, like for instance, a locator, the price of the locator really goes down significantly with the volume.
Sure.
So for instance, one locator, a single locator alone, MSRP, reseller price is 450 euros. But then if you already are going to go 400, then it goes down to 325, and then it climbs down very rapidly.
But starting off at 400, so we're talking about sort of $600-$700 at the volume one, roughly.
Volume one, which is, if you like, the cost of a professional access point nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what? Why are they so big? What is it that is special about the design of those receivers, those sensors?
Well, the locator itself are devices which can be powered over Ethernet. So one cable only provide power and connectivity.
Okay.
They are devices that in some cases they can also accept the 12-volt DC as an external power supply. And they are devices that contains an antenna array, So this antenna array is like the lens in a camera. And that's what allowed our device not just to receive the signal, but to be able to pinpoint which direction the signal is actually coming from.
Okay, so yeah, how many individual elements are there in one of those things?
It varies. So as I said, we have different designs for that. And typically, the more elements you have, the more you are able to kind of focus far in the view.
Okay, well, you got three whole pages in the book, and I kind of gave an example of a very early phase antenna array, which is probably not doing you guys justice, but during World War II, then both sides were using that technology to try and figure out the vector of approaching aircraft and so forth. It's a different thing, but it's kind of a similar point.
That actually is cool. I've been using in my PhD thesis some picture from the World War I, where we were actually using acoustic array. And those one are just fantastic. If you check it online, they were actually like horn with many different kind of horn, and then be able to, you know, steer physically left and right to be able to identify where the planes were coming from. And the idea was the same, because instead of doing it in the radio domain, you do it in the acoustic domain. And actually, if you think about it, the locator is something that you can think of. I mean, every one of us has an antenna array inbuilt into their head, are your ears. So the reason why, if you close your eyes, you can tell where someone is talking around you is simply because by having two antennas, you are actually able to process with your brain the direction from which the signal comes from. That's what the locator does. The locator does that, but in the radio domain. It can process the direction.
And so the phase is basically kind of where the signal is in that rising and falling. And so if you have two antennas and they're looking at the same signal, then basically the speed, the difference in space is such that the phase will have changed when the signal goes past one element to the other. And from that, you do a simple trigonometry, I'm sure, and you can figure out the vector.
Yeah, there are a couple of more steps in between.
Okay.
I come from the signal processing world. And
okay, I didn't do it justice. But that's how I've kind of explained it to myself, and I feel like that's enough that I need to know.
If you go online, there is a cartoon picture that is called "And Then the Miracle Happens," and it's at least very well known in the signal processing community. And there is one student writing on the blackboard and teaching and telling to his professor how he came to a certain result. So there is some formula at the beginning, then there is a cloud that says, and then a miracle happens, and then at the end there is the result, and then there is a professor that points to the cloud and says, I think you should be a little bit more accurate in here. So that's what Cooper does. We can make the miracle happen.
That's good, and I mean, I think it's really timely. So it's good for people to kind of get in the head, angle of arrival, because that is basically where the standards are going, and you guys are at the cutting edge in terms of commercializing that. But you know, let's look in our crystal ball. You know, my guess is that eventually this will be in the standards. How does that place Cooper when that's standardized? How does that affect you?
I mean, we are very excited of the standard to come. And as a matter of fact, we have been among one of the company contributing into that already in the very early stage. And we have been following then in the past year very closely what the BTSIG and all the standardization bodies within Bluetooth have been working on. There is a working group called Direction Finding Working Group, and I think that they have done a very good job, a tremendous work in trying to pull together all the string and trying to come up with a very comprehensive standard protocol that could be used and adopted. So we are looking forward for when the standard would be ready. And when that happens, we will just make all of our product fully compliant with the standard. It would be very, very straightforward to do that.
It seems like your solution is really focused on asset tracking, right? As opposed to wayfinding for people with smartphones. Is that correct?
Well, okay, so if at the first part of the interview I told you 20%, so far we have reached the 40%, maybe 45%.
Okay.
So now I can open the other chapter, that is the mobile tracking part. So the Coupa devices, the Coupa technology, we can actually track mobile devices in the same accuracy as we are tracking tags. Because since Android 5 and iOS have opened the manufacturer-specific API, so every application software provider can actually build an app that effectively can make the mobile device into a broadcast, into a beacons. And by making it into a beacons, it means that now you can include into the payload of such beaconing signal the training sequence that you need in order to be positioned with high accuracy. That's what we call tag emulation. So practically, we have at Coupa some open specification, which describes in a few lines of code how to actually build such application. And therefore, if we go into an environment now, let's take the warehouse or the retail space that we were discussing before, you could practically have shopping carts and shopping baskets where you have attached inexpensive tags for being able to track their position in real time. But at the same time, the locator can track the position of the mobile phone, which are running an app, and all with the same accuracy and the same delay.
And so that's not passive. We're not talking, this is not like Cisco would kind of have a less accurate Wi-Fi tracking that is just the fact that you've got Wi-Fi on is good enough for them. What you're talking about is someone who's downloaded an app, which is maybe a retailer or an enterprise app, and it's kind of driving the radio to use the sequence that you've talked
That's
about.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we are not doing the kind of sniffing of opportunistic communication.
Right.
Also because we want to really be able to identify who is who, because we want to track that object. We are not looking at knowing how many devices are in a certain area and or kind of passively trying to figure out how someone is moving between the different area. We are talking about having, for instance, mobile application where in a retail store someone could get discounts, location-based advertisement, or in a museum get location-based information, or in an industry environment get real-time hazard notifications as soon as they would access a certain area where they are not supposed to be.
Okay. So let's kind of get into the home straight, wrap things up by talking a little bit about the market. So you've now relocated. So you were based in Finland, which I think is where the company came out of, like Nokia R&D folks. Is that right? You're all kind of research type people.
Yeah, I mean the founding team of Coupa, we were working in Nokia, and all of us, including myself, I was a principal researcher in Nokia Research Center.
Yeah.
I have wonderful memories from that time. And at one point in time, in 2012, we practically spun out of Nokia. And we took our baby with us. So the technology that we have been concepting, early prototyping, and developing through the years, it's practically what we have been repackaged and restructured and recreated for becoming a full scalable product. And that's what Coupa is selling nowadays.
So does Nokia have a stake in your company? What's the kind of the equity structure? Are you self-funded or?
Coupa is a private company. So we are, it's one of the things that we are still quite happy, I have to say, about that. So we have been able to grow very organically from the early days. And we had had business in the U.S. From the very beginning. So as a matter of fact, our first deal was in the U.S., close to Boston, our first commercial deal. So the business in the U.S. has always been very positive for us, and we have seen a very steadily and positive growth throughout the years. But then last end of last year, beginning of next year, we have seen that growth become over exponential. So we have hit the time in which a lot of the project that we were running at the early stages as demo and then became pilot and then became an advanced pilot or an extended pilot, they were on the verge of turning into commercial. And that's where we felt that it was very important to build a local presence of Coupa into the United States, to be able to stay closer and to work closer with our existing partner, and to be able to better support them on their everyday activities, and also to be able to get in contact with other companies and other potential partners with whom we would be more than happy to discuss and find them.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Way to work together.
And it just seemed like you have, right from the start, you've been very partner orientated. You're not kind of one of these companies. And I think you've maybe paid a little bit of a price for that. I think your approach has been more channel orientated, where you work with an intermediary who can kind of understand your technology and create solutions. And I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer. And maybe your approach is just a function of the level of, you know, this is not just stick a one beacon that costs $50 or $25 or whatever in there. There's some operational details that we need to be thought about. But I'm not sure what the question is, but it seems like your approach is more channel solution focused. Is that a fair comment?
That's absolutely right. So we operate through channel partners. And so Coupa, we are really, you know, we understand technology, and we are able to build technology, and that's the kind of domain where we feel comfortable to operate. So we have always wanted to remain as an horizontal player, horizontal across different geographical markets, different vertical markets, and be able to build on a complete platform that could go from the hardware to the software application tool, monitoring, and a few others are coming along as the time will go. We have been launching just recently what we call the Coupa Data Player, and there are other interesting tools coming in very soon into the market. But all of these tools, they practically are really built for making this platform more complete, more scalable, and easier to use. And what we do, we practically want to deliver such platform to the domain expert, to the kind of landmarks into their own market. We don't want to compete with them. So we believe that the indoor space and the indoor market is huge. And this is not just indoor, because as I said, we also can track objects outdoor. So if we talk about the whole location market beyond somehow the GPS, it's tremendously huge. And it's so big that there is not really one company that could embrace it all by itself. So there are a lot of very interesting partners, companies that are scattered across the geographical areas and across the vertical markets. And we really would like to work with all of them. We would like to provide them a component that they could just, you know, use, and build on top of that without having to somehow worry of how does it work, why does it work. It just needs to be easy. It just needs to be something that is almost plug and play.
So that's interesting. So, and I think that maybe is the secret to your organic growth as well. And the Beaker system, I look upon it as a really amazing soap opera with all the different companies have different characters. And so you guys have got this design aesthetic. It's kind of a little bit more cerebral, less amped up and I think you were kind of removed because you had that Nordic base, but now here you are in the States. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the partnerships that develop. And it's obvious that you'd be a good fit for people who are in the app space above the Beacon technology. Would you ever consider partnering with one of the other big Beacon guys where, you know, their beacons have a Cooper mode and you provide the locators? Is that just a step too far?
I mean, it's absolutely not too far at all. And we actually are in discussion already with company that build beacons across the world. I mean, we have discussion with company in the US, but also in Europe and in other parts. I mean, one company that recently we started to work with, it's for instance a company called Blue Up. And Blue Up has always been building just beacon device, right? Or be really focalizing on trying to build different beacons with different mechanics, different time, life battery, and so on. And they realized that these beacons, why do they need to be just static? They could actually become a mobile device. And if now that it become a mobile device because attached to mobile objects, if without changing anything in the hardware or in the design, which is very costly to do, but simply by adding a few lines of coding to the firmware, they could give a second life to this device. Well, that's beneficial for everybody. So we really want to be just an enabler for other people and play into an ecosystem where everyone could build his value across the value chain. And we really want to be, we see ourselves like an engine in the car. That's the example that we use at the gear. You know, we are the engine. We can be the sole engine into your car, or if you have a big truck that can be several engines. And our direct customer, which are system integrator and solution provider, they're actually the one that built the car. And they are the one that can decide the color. They can decide whether it's a sport car or a family car or a van, depending on the needs that the end customer is going to have. So, and we are more than happy to take all the feedback that our partner brings to us to try to enrich and expand and make our platform even easier to be adopted and used.
Okay, this is maybe getting more controversial than we normally get on this show, but there was an article where a journalist quoted the CEO of Euclid, you know, the retail analytics company. And I don't know whether the CEO of Euclid said this, but basically the tagline is Bluetooth beacons are dead. And I what's your reaction to that? Would you agree with that?
Well, it's definitely an interesting title. Beacons are dead. Well, I think that depends on the point of view. I think that I don't feel that they are dead. They might be changing skin. You know, it's like a snake. It might be changing skin and become something else, but the core functionality might still be the same. I think that Bluetooth and Bluetooth Low Energy technology will have a very long life ahead of them, because I think that the general Bluetooth Low Energy technology is getting so much more enriched with the new feature that the BTC is now releasing out. And I think that once also the possibility to do directional estimation will come out, is going to be something that could be very disruptive for many different verticals. And the fact that the Bluetooth devices are already so much used into everyday objects, from my headset to my loudspeakers that I have just here on the desk to my PC and tablet phone. It's just incredible. So I believe that more and more devices are coming and leveraging on the volume of production. That's also what is actually driving the cost significantly down. One thing that I heard from the market is for instance, an interesting discussion related to passive RFID versus active RFID. Mm-hmm. Because nowadays, a lot of company in logistics or so, they actually use passive RFID, which are simple, you know, very inexpensive and very effective stickers.
10 cents.
Exactly. And I think that our passive technology will probably still have a very long life because there is a lot of needs for that. But at the same time, also in logistics and industry, there are certain objects that might be a little bit more valuable than others. And those objects, maybe someone is willing to spend per tag instead of 1 cent or 10 cents, maybe $1 or $5. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, be able to get to know much more about the device that has been tagged. And not just in terms of position or monitoring how it moves around the space, but also in terms of sensor data. And the sensor data is something that in some industry is pretty crucial to know the temperature, the humidity, whether it's moving or not moving. That's what opens the door to all of these kind of new features.
And I don't think anyone's arguing that Bluetooth is dead or really, I think in this case, he was thinking about beacons in retail and specifically the interaction between beacons and consumers and the ideas of getting kind of aisle level, product level alerts. And, I'm sure dealing with a lot of retailers, and so he's got a very informed perspective, and I think his point is almost, okay, the technology can do this, but his point is people aren't getting their phones out whilst they're shopping. And so, you know, there's always some truth to these things, but I disagree publicly on Twitter with that, because what I'm seeing is there are companies that are making money on this. There's broad beacon deployments by retailers. And sure, most of it is presence in the store, but are you seeing retailers who are interested in aisle level accuracy as opposed to just presence in the store, which is really where 90% of the activity has been, I think, up until now?
Yes. So we have seen actually a change in trend from the retailer from the past year to today. So in the past, 3 to 5 years, it's absolutely true that a lot of retailers have been experimenting by using beacon and actually using them even commercially on an everyday basis by relying on the communication with the mobile phone of the people and so. And, you know, also in the retail domain, there is a lot of colors in there, meaning that there are small retailer, big retailer, there is grocery store with respect to, you know, clothing industry retailers, very different environments. But what we have noticed is that even though I don't believe it's going to die, the beaconing part, because I still believe that there would be a use for someone with his phone to know the proximity and the distance and be able to have some actionable information, the retailer are also noticing that there is no enough incentive for the end user, like me, when I go to the store, to actually pop up my phone and using an app in order to enhance my experience, my shopping experience. And that is actually something that is hurting them, because that means that out of 100 visitors that they have, they only capture information of less than 10% of it. And that's something that is not potentially good enough to be able to really draw long-term and large statistics. Mm-hmm. So what we have been engaged with is the trend that, okay, I eventually also want to go to the phone of the user, but why don't I track the shopping cart and shopping basket where they are present in the store? Mm-hmm. Because in that way, I actually can know 100% of what is happening in my store.
Yes.
And already with that information in a kind of passive and anonymous way, mm-hmm. on who moves where, you can already provide information for brands, for the store owner, for the store chain, on, you know, hotspot, cold spot, dwell time, kind of pass through, and direction of motion within the aisle, be able to create zones that are smaller and smaller and smaller. And you do all of this simply by having the locators on the ceiling. So the locator gives you sub-meter accuracy. So effectively, you can actually build the zones that are 1 meter wide or even less in certain area. And then you can build all the analytics based on top. So I don't believe that there is going to be a black and white. I think that there is definitely a trend change in to be able to do more the asset tracking part. And I believe that the beacon will still be a very interesting complementary component into the location-based service domain.
Well, Fabio, thanks so much. We've covered a lot of ground. Welcome to America. Congratulations on the success. Your company is doing some really very exciting things, and love to see the partnerships as they develop, and do stay in touch with us.
Please, thanks a lot for the chance and for the interview. It was great talking to you. And if anyone has any question, please do not hesitate to reach out to us.
Very good. You guys got some good artwork done with your selection of font for your name. How did that come about?
Well, our creative director is very creative.
Yeah.
So actually, our creative director got full on board working with us about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. Uh-huh. But he has been with us from the very beginning. So when we founded Coupa, he's a personal friend of our CEO, Kimo. Uh-huh. And one evening, he was having dinner in his family, and Kimo was sharing with him the name of the company.
Yeah.
And the guy just started to spin the wheel in his mind, and he spent a few hours at night time until 3 a.m. drawing different fonts. And then the next day we actually got an email and said, this is going to be your font. This is going to be your logo.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful font. And it kind of evokes the shape of the receiver that you have. So
that's
it's kind
right.
Of-
The idea was that the locator is like circular.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have the little tick, which typically shows the direction of
direction.
The LED.
Yeah.
It's also the site planner and deployer tool. We have this kind of similar kind of icon.
Very nice.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.